Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is about the Russo-Ukrainian war and Ukraine's strategy. They're now attacking oil tankers in the Black Sea. So since quite early in the war, Russia was attacking Ukraine's energy infrastructure, trying to destroy power stations, substations and so forth. So to cut them off from electricity, freeze people to death in the winter. Also, their railways rely on electricity mostly to run, therefore can't move troops and munitions so much, and so much of governance is electricity dependent, so much of the economy is. It's hard to do almost any job without electricity these days. Now, for quite some time, Ukraine has been returning the serve, so hitting Russian oil refineries in particular. Remember, oil and gas exports account for easily 30% of Russia's economy. Moreover, Ukraine's allies have reduced their purchase of Russian oil and gas. Look at the European Union, about 40% of its, sorry, 45% of its gas came from Russia before the war began down, is now down to under 20%. They're trying to get it down to zero. And a phase out for the next few years. Few holdouts, very difficult for it to get Hungary and Slovakia to completely agree. And those are the two countries the governments are most favorably disposed towards Moscow. But just on the 29th of November, some Ukrainian naval drones, they struck two oil tankers. Now, because Ukraine's allies control a huge percentage of the world insurance market, they won't insure a lot of these oil tankers, which are shipping oil and gas out of Russia. Of course, there's some pipelines, famous the Druzhba pipeline, ironically meaning friendship, going across Ukraine. And astonishingly, that was still used by Russia. And Ukraine allowed them to send oil and gas through those pipelines to the European Union. And Russia even paid these transit fees to Ukraine, but that deal came to an end. Why on earth did Ukraine allow this? Well, partly because they didn't want to irk their neighbors, Hungary and Slovakia, who were so dependent on it. Now, the European Union could have said, we're not buying a drop of Russian oil and gas at the beginning of the war, so could the USA, United Kingdom, and so on. But there are plenty of other sources of oil and gas, but the price would go up. So they didn't want to wreck their economies. And that was one of the things that Putin was banking on. Another thing is these countries have moved towards renewable energy even faster. And 2022 was more or less Russia's last chance to break Ukraine by being threatening to freeze Ukraine's friends into submission in the winter. Russia's lost these oil and gas markets and may never fully get them back. Putin might assume, you know, you end the war, you lift sanctions, they bounce back. Well, these people will be cautious of taking them back. Russia's an unreliable supplier. They found other suppliers who are more reliable at a better price. Russia obviously selling things to China and India at a major discount, but having to send these shadow fleet tankers with little or no insurance and so on, because there might be a disaster, a massive oil leak and things like that. So Ukraine is trying to hit Russia's economy, just as Russia's trying to destroy Ukraine's economy. And that's why they've been doing that. That's been a tactic of war so long as warfare has existed. Now, obviously, one mustn't try to kill civilians, but the people wearing the tankers, they are civilians. They might get killed accidentally. Then again, you might say, well, they're definitely going to get killed, but that's not the primary objective. Question, is that legal and or ethical? Okay, so Kairos, I can't remember what that means in Greek, some ancient Greek word, and Virat, both in the Black Sea. So they're both been sanctioned. Because the thing is, if there's a disaster, a huge oil leak or a fire in international waters, and there's no insurance to cover it, then that's going to affect the countries around the littoral or even in the territorial waters of various countries. So these sea baby drones have been used. The SBU, that's Ukraine's Internal Intelligence Agency, they've used them as well. So it was quite close to the coast of the Turkish Republic where these attacks took place. And so Turkey dispatched some boats to help put out the fire to rescue the sailors and so forth. So Russia's attacked Ukrainian commercial commerce since the earliest days of the war and so on. And Novorossiysk is, as meaning New Russia, is this Russian port on the Black Sea. And so some oil and gas comes there by pipeline, and then is shipped out through the Black Sea, through the Bosphorus, into the Sea of Marmara, the Aegean, the Mediterranean, all around the world, because they've only got so many pipelines going to their markets. And, you know, the Germans have stopped buying it, that Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Nord Stream, that's been taken out possibly by the Ukrainian special services. The idea being then it does economic damage to Russia. There's less temptation for Germany to lift sanctions to get this cheap gas because you have to do an awful lot of repair before that's going to happen. So there's a Caspian Pipeline Consortium which includes Kazakhstan and various Western firms part own it: Shell, Chevron, Mobil, Exxon. So those are American, and Shell is British and Dutch. So the Kazakhs are not happy about this. This impacts them as well. So they could find alternative export routes, but that's difficult. You can't do that overnight. You have to build pipelines that can take years. They're selling a lot to China and a little bit to other Central Asian countries. But where else are they going to sell it? If they're not going to sell it to China, they'll often have to transship it through China to the nearest coast. Remember, Kazakhstan is neutral in this Russo-Ukrainian war. Yes, it's a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization and of the Eurasian Economic Union. Eurasian Economic Union is Russia's answer to the European Union, but it's not developed to anything like what they were hoping it would be. Bearing in mind, it's founded in 2011. So the CSTO has only helped put countries defend themselves, not to help Russia invade Ukraine. And then the other five CSTO member states: Belarus, Armenia, Kazakhstan, and I don't think who it is. Is it Kyrgyzstan and is it Uzbekistan? I don't even remember. None of them have sent troops. No, not it's Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan. Despite them fighting against each other, none of them sent a single soldier to Russia to help them invade Ukraine. Now, it's true that some individuals have volunteered for the Russian army and or been coerced. Now, so by doing this, Ukraine has hacked off Turkey, which is a neutral country, which is a major trade partner of Russia, and more Russian tourists go to Turkey than any other destination. And the Turks have helped Russia evade sanctions. So the Ukrainians might conclude, well, Turkey's been unhelpful to us, even a little bit helpful to the other side, so they've got to pay a price for it. We don't mind if they annoy them. So unless they improve their behavior, this might impact them as well. And obviously Turkey's buying Russian oil and gas just as much. So obviously Ukraine is showing that they're in the fight. People, they say this is escalatory. Well, I mean, it's not really. It's something that they haven't done before. They haven't actually sunk any of these oil tankers. It might do that. That was a big economic cost to Russia, make it more difficult to export their oil and gas. People will be less willing to be sailors in these ships because they could be killed if that were to happen. Now, I don't want anyone to be killed. I'm not a pacifist. I would like the war to end now. I wish it never begun. And I recognize who began it. Is Russia invaded Ukraine? Russia is illegally claiming Russian Ukrainian territory. Russia has absolutely no right to a single millimeter of Ukrainian territory. Ukraine is an entirely independent country. Ukraine has the unfettered right to determine its own foreign domestic policies, has the right to seek to join any military alliance, to develop its military forces as it sees fit. Moscow has no right whatsoever to dictate any of these policies to Ukraine. Does Ukraine have such a right to dictate them to Russia? That would be preposterous. So what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. And Putin's Nazi regime has absolutely no business preaching to Ukraine about the right way to behave and so forth. Goodness. So Russia is paying a heavy price for this. You see the economic cost to them, and Ukraine is fighting for its life. And if some of the things it's done are illegal, if some are unethical, put myself in their position, I might say, well, the gloves have got to come off. What they've done to Russia is nothing compared to what Russia's done to them, with atrocities such as the Bucha massacre, with wide-scale rape. And if you don't believe me, you can hear listening to some of these captured Russian soldiers' telephone conversations bragging about it. You can read some of the reports from Human Rights Watch and so forth, and you can read some of the reports about the monstrous tortures inflicted on Ukrainian prisoners of war, made to stand for hours each day, and they get severely beaten up if they move a muscle. So it couldn't be clearer which side is morally in the right. And obviously, the terrible thing is there are millions of good Russians, and good people do evil things. And of course, there will be a few evil people on the Ukrainian side. It is ridiculous to suppose that all the good people are born one nationality, all the wicked ones another nationality. And war can bring out the best in people, can make people see red. Someone you love, he or she gets killed. That might enrage you. You might lust for vengeance and so on. So this is all the Putin regime's fault. There was absolutely no need for them to invade Ukraine. There was not the slightest justification for them to invade Ukraine. They had some sort of dispute. They could have brought it to the United Nations. They're in breach of the UN Charter. Is trying to change a border illegally, but by force is illegal. Threat of force against another country, initiating war aggression. All these things are crimes. Now, you might say that Western countries have done that, and sometimes you'd be correct. None of which excuses anything Russia is doing. All right. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, PayPal, georgecard79@gmail.com, and do what you can to achieve peace with justice.